Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full."
Well, we're part of the way into this mini-series in John's Gospel where we're asking the question, who do you say that I am? It's a great question to keep asking yourself, isn't it? Maybe you've joined the church relatively recently. Maybe you've done Christianity Explored. Maybe you'd say you're new to finding out who Jesus is. It's a great question to ask, isn't it, as you're trying to work that out. Or maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but it's still a good question. We often need to stop, don't we, and ask ourselves, what does Jesus really mean to us? Who do we say that he is, even if we've been his followers for a while? And the answer at first seems to be quite straightforward in this passage, isn't it? He's the shepherd. That's what he says about himself. It's one of the most famous images that Jesus uses about himself, in fact, isn't it? The good shepherd. If you go and look through that drawer that you have in your house that has all the junk and the bits and bobs in it, you know the drawer I'm talking about. We all have a drawer like that, don't we? If you dig hard enough, you can probably find a fridge magnet in there that has a picture of a bearded man bending down to pet a lamb and the words, "Jesus says, I am the good shepherd." We've all got a fridge magnet like that that our great aunt gave us or something like that. It's one of the famous images that he uses. And it all sounds nice and comforting, doesn't it? But what does it actually mean for him to be the shepherd? Because when we look a little closer at the passage that we just heard read to us, we can see that it's full of less than comforting ideas as well. Thieves and robbers breaking in, trying to kill and destroy, doesn't sound quite so comfortable. And on top of that, it's not entirely straightforward as you read it through what it all means either, is it? He starts off talking about being the shepherd, but then halfway through he switches to calling himself the gate. In fact, there's a line in verse 6 there which says, they didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. And perhaps you'll think to yourself, yeah, I'm not quite sure I understood entirely as we were going through as well, even if it's a familiar sounding passage. So what's going on here? A passage with some wonderful images. Jesus, the shepherd, the one who leads. It sounds so good, doesn't it? And then this wonderful promise at the end of the passage in verse 10 of abundant life. Sounds fantastic. But it requires some thinking as we work through it and ask this question, who do we say that Jesus is? This is the challenge of teaching the Bible sometimes. I could just focus on some of those little nice bits and, you know, say something that we all want to hear. That's not very difficult to do. But the point of this series is to look more carefully about what Jesus says about himself and then ask the question, who do we say that he is? So we need to take our time to make sense of all of this. And almost always when we're going to do that, the first thing to do is to try to get ourselves clear on the context of a passage like this. What's really going on around it? And the context here is not that Jesus is putting on a sort of a seminar with the disciples where they're trying to come up with pithy fridge magnet lines or anything like that. He's in the middle of a heated discussion with the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of his day. This is what we've been tracking through chapter 9 in the last couple of weeks. And it's been this fascinating account, this wonderful account of the healing of a blind man who was blind from birth. But then the subsequent disagreement with the religious leaders over whether that was legitimate on the Sabbath or not. And although the later editors of the Bible, they've called this passage the start of chapter 10, really it's just a continuation of the same discussion. He's still talking with the Pharisees at this point. And the key line that kicked it all off was in chapter 9, verse 16. Have a glance at that back over the page again. Flick back to it in chapter 9, verse 16. Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked themselves, "But how can a sinner perform such signs?" And so they were divided. This is a tense moment of division between what the religious authorities say and what many of the people think that they can see with their eyes before them. Who do we say that Jesus is? Well, the question in his day among his people was whether he's a hero sent by God or a dangerous heretic who ignores the instructions that God gave in the Bible and does his own thing instead. And it's into this setting that Jesus then begins to talk about sheep and shepherds and thieves. But before we get into that, why a shepherding illustration? Why use that as the thing that you would pick? Again, not because he's out on a hike with the disciples and sees some sheep in a sheepfold. To answer that question, we need to go further back into the Bible context. Throughout the Old Testament, the image of the shepherd looking after his sheep has been used several times as a picture of the right kind of leader that God's people need. So King David, famously the greatest of Israel's kings, began his life as a shepherd boy. In his famous showdown with the giant Goliath, he defeated the giant with his shepherd's sling, a sign to the people that he could shepherd them just as he could look after sheep. But it was never really thanks to him alone, which is why David wrote Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms. We've heard it sung already this morning. "The Lord is my shepherd." David was a shepherd, but really it was the Lord God himself who was the true shepherd of the people all along. He was the one who could lead his flock into green pasture. And then more tragically, further down the line from David, when Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, they'd been led by many bad kings for decades and centuries. And the prophet Ezekiel wrote a famous chapter, chapter 34, about how the sheep had all been scattered on the hills. They'd all been sent into exile because they'd had bad shepherds who had not looked after them. And that passage ended with God saying, "Look, I am going to come and be their shepherd once again. The shepherds have all failed, but I'm going to come and do it. And I'll find another David to lead them." And this is the story that John picks up in the New Testament, but it's a story with a twist if you were to go back and read it from chapter 1. Perhaps you remember that passage that we read at Christmas time about how the Word of God has become flesh in chapter 1. All those promises that God spoke in the Old Testament, like the promise to come and be their shepherd, they've become manifest. They've become manifest in a person. The Word has become flesh. And the passage goes on, "He came to his own, but his own people did not recognize him." Everyone agreed that they needed the Lord God to come and be their shepherd once again. They'd been in a mess. But Jesus didn't quite fit with exactly what they were expecting. And this has been a building and building theme through John's gospel. Is Jesus from God, or is he actually just another false shepherd who's dangerous and leading them astray? On the one hand, in chapter 9, another extraordinary sign by Jesus Surely this man is sent from God. But then on the other hand, all the Bible teachers of the day say that God would never have approved of this on the Sabbath. And rather than trying to defend himself further, Jesus gives an illustration as we start chapter 10, a parable really, which forces the listeners to think about themselves. That's what's going on in this first bit of John 10. So here's the text before us on the screen so we can see what we're looking at. And there are basically two parts to what Jesus is saying. There's a first bit, which is kind of this bit here. And then there's a second bit, which is this bit here. And we're going to look at them in turn. Wasn't very accurate there, but you get the idea. So let's look at this first bit where Jesus talks about how he is the shepherd and they will hear his voice. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them. And his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from a stranger, because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Okay, so here we have a little illustration that Jesus is giving, and let's build it up step by step, shall we? So here we have the sheepfold. There you go, 2 degrees in architecture, haven't gone to waste. And here are the sheep looking all nice and woody, should have done them in white, but you get the idea. There they are. And there are two sorts of people that could be in the sheepfold. So first of all, there is the shepherd. Here's the shepherd with his shepherd's staff. And he's the good guy. He looks after them. He shears their wool. He leads them to where the food is. He's the man that they want. And he's the one who comes in and out of the gate. And they recognize him. But he's not the only person who's interested in the sheep. There could be another person in the sheepfold, couldn't there? Another man. And this man is the thief and the robber. Because the thing is that sheep rustlers are also interested in sheep. They would quite like to have the sheep for their Sunday lunch. And they can also get in by climbing in over the wall. And hopefully you can already begin to see the parallels with the episode that just happened in chapter 9, can't you? Jesus is like the man standing in the middle of the sheepfold, and the people are like the sheep. They are wondering who he is. And the problem is he the shepherd or is he the thief? Is he from God or is he not? And if the Pharisees were to interject at this point, they would argue that Jesus is the one who has climbed in over the wall because he's going against the trustworthy law of Moses, or so they say. He's the imposter in this situation. But the point of the illustration is that the sheep recognize the true shepherd when they hear his voice, and he leads them with them. They hear his voice and they know him. Whereas when they hear the thief speak, they'll all run away. And again, this is what we've seen in the previous episode. The sheep can recognize something of the true shepherd, can't they? Their heavenly father in the works and the words of Jesus. This is what the previously blind man pointed out to the Pharisees. With a certain amount of glee, we might add. He said to them, we know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And it's a very clever illustration because it's raising a question for the religious leaders. If all around them, the sheep, are recognizing the voice of the shepherd, but they don't, well, what does that say about them? We're told at the end of the section that the Pharisees did not understand what Jesus was telling them. Now, they probably understood the illustration. That bit is not that difficult. But they didn't perceive its meaning, or perhaps they didn't want to. The word translated as understand there simply means to know. It's the same word in chapter 1 when John said that Jesus came to his own people, but they did not know him. They understood the illustration. They understood it was about sheep and shepherds and that kind of thing. But they didn't perceive that they were in the parable somewhere. They didn't perceive that it might be about them. Which brings us back to the next section. So let's go back to our passage again. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full." And again, if we're imagining the sheepfold here, but there's been a change of emphasis this time in what Jesus is trying to say. In this last bit, the point was about how the sheep will recognize the shepherd. But now what we're interested in is where will they end up, depending on who takes them. Because if the thief takes them, they'll end up as Sunday lunch. But if the shepherd takes them, they'll end up in green pasture. And in order to make the point more explicitly, Jesus identifies himself with the gate rather than the shepherd. Now, he'll go back to referring to himself as the shepherd again in the next bit of John 10. So he's just switching between images here, not sort of playing them off against each other. But there's something about the gate that makes the point particularly vividly and clearly, isn't there? There's only one legitimate way in and out of the sheepfold. There's only one way that leads to pasture. The other routes lead to Sunday lunch. And that's through the gateway. The thieves have to sneak in over the wall. And they've had lots of would-be leaders at this point. All who have come before me have been like that, Jesus said, and they've led you all into destruction. What they need is to find the gateway that gets them to lovely green life, life in abundance. By which Jesus doesn't mean that he's the gateway into whatever we think is important in life. Very easy to make that final line and turn it into whatever we want to turn it into. Very easy to do that. If you do that, though, you become disillusioned very quickly when Jesus doesn't give you those things. So we need to understand what he means by life. And what he means is the life that God always intended for his people. That's what abundant life is here. The life that God always intended for his people. This is what the leaders of God's people, this is what they were supposed to do, to take them where the great shepherd, the Lord God himself, wanted them to go, rather than taking them into destruction, as so many had beforehand. This is the life that is rich and green that the sheep are supposed to feast on together. The life that endures to eternal life. Later on, Jesus says, later on in John's gospel, Jesus says, this is everlasting life, literally the ageless life, the life that endures beyond the ages, that we may know our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent to be the gateway. This is life. Its goal is the resurrection in the end, life in the world to come in the new creation. But it begins now as we seek the will of our Father, which we can find as we come to Jesus for direction. He is the gateway by which we will find this pasture. A life full of purpose as we glorify our Father, but a life that also might look like sacrifice and endurance as we follow Jesus. Paradoxical in the eyes of the world around us. And I wonder if we really believe that that's true. Is that really abundant life, overflowing life, life to the full? Or maybe our Heavenly Father doesn't know what's best for us. So let's draw this together then. Two parts to this speech from Jesus, two connected illustrations about sheep and a sheepfold, one illustration about how the sheep can recognize the voice of the shepherd, and the other one about how Jesus is the gateway leading to pasture, to this great life that God intended. Two illustrations that are drawing out the implications of what we've seen happening in the previous chapter with the healing of the blind man. Some of the sheep are recognizing the shepherd and beginning to find life already. Others cannot recognize him and will be prey to the thieves and the robbers and led away from God. But what about us? Who do we say that Jesus is? That's the title of our series. Let's come back to that question again. For some of us in the room, we're at the point where we're trying to work out who Jesus really is for the first time. Perhaps you've come along to Christianity Explored or you've been invited by a friend. Jesus is asking you to recognize his voice. He is the one who will lead you to God the Father. He is the one who will show you the way to true life. He is the gateway. No other religion or ideology or philosophy can do it. And the reason for that is because he is the one that God himself has sent. That's the logic of John's gospel. And you can tell that by the signs that he does and the words that he says. You can recognize the voice of the shepherd. For some of us, we might have grown up going to church and we'd say we're Christians, but it's only now that we're really starting to think about what it would look like to follow Jesus seriously for ourselves. Again, we need to be convinced that Jesus is the gateway to life, to eternal life. He isn't just a theory or a religious idea or a good man who lived thousands of years ago. He's the shepherd who's calling you today and asking you to follow him as he leads. But for many of us, we've been Christians for a while. Is this passage just for the newcomers? What about if you already think that Jesus is the gateway? You've heard his voice and followed. You agree that the Pharisees were wrong and that Jesus was sent from God. You've agreed with it for many, many years. Does that mean that this passage has nothing more to say to us? And I think we need to pay more careful attention if that's what we find ourselves thinking. Because remember the context here. Jesus isn't having this discussion with people who are not believers. He was having this discussion with the people who already thought that they had God sorted out. More than that, that they were the orthodox Bible people of the day. This is why the Pharisees kept appealing back to Moses in chapter 9, because they were Bible people. They knew how to tick all the right boxes, but they couldn't recognize the voice of the shepherd when he turned up in front of them. Now, we know that they were wrong about Jesus and we're right to follow him, so we're doing better. But it raises an interesting question, doesn't it? Is it possible to be right about the conclusion and to say that Jesus is the Son of God, but basically still have the same attitude as the Pharisees and are unable to hear the shepherd's voice? Surely one of the reasons that John wrote this down was so that we would learn from their mistakes. The true sheep are not the ones who simply know all the right answers. The true sheep are the ones who come to Jesus listening for his voice and looking for him to lead them into pasture, into the kind of life that God desires for them. Jesus' aim wasn't simply that we would acknowledge that he's the shepherd. His aim was to let him be the shepherd for us. Both of the illustrations that Jesus uses, they're wonderfully active, aren't they? Sheep are not just inanimate objects. They are creatures looking for the one who will take them and show them the right kind of life. Sheep are reliant on the shepherd. That's what our relationship with Jesus is supposed to be like. To recognize his voice, to see him as the gateway. It's the same thing as seeking the kind of life that he wants for us. It's a good diagnostic question to ask ourselves regularly, isn't it? Are we listening to the voice of Jesus? Are we asking him to lead us? How do we know if we are? How would you know? Well, it's quite simple. We're doing what he says if we're listening to his voice, aren't we? When he says, for example, love one another, we do it because we believe that this is life to the full. When he says, forgive one another, we do it because we believe that this is life to the full. When he says, serve my people, as we thought about in the discipleship slot earlier, we do it because we believe that this is life to the full. This is where the shepherd leads. Well, our time is almost up. Who do we say that Jesus is? It's a good question to keep asking, isn't it? The true sheep will hear his voice and recognize their heavenly Father in what he does and says. And like a gateway, he will show them the way into good pasture, into the life that God had always intended for his children. Isn't that the life that we should be seeking? Well, why don't we pray to finish? Jesus said, the thief comes only to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have abundant and everlasting life. We pray, Father, that you would help us to hear the voice of the shepherd this morning, whether we are new to coming to church, we're not sure whether we're Christians or not, or whether we've been here for a long time. Please, Father, would you help us to hear Jesus' voice and go where he leads. And we pray this in his name. Amen.